Welcome to Job Title, where we dive into exactly that. The stories and experiences of real people with all kinds of job titles. In this episode, I talk with Jill Vinsolin, who is the owner of Wildflower Farm in Holland, Michigan. From almost no experience growing flowers, to trying it out as a hobby, to then moving just outside of town to a beautiful spot to create her flower farm, Jill describes how her field as a flower farmer can be so life-giving while also being incredibly realistic about a variety of challenges. I loved chatting honestly about being in the seasons of motherhood, going through career shifts, and lots of growth and learning in starting her business. I hope you enjoy hearing both the entrepreneurial side of Jill's job and the parts of actually getting to play in the dirt and spending time with the flowers. Listen now for a window into this job title. Welcome back. I'm your host, Heidi Nykamp, and I am so excited for the conversation we are going to be having today. Welcome to Job Title, Jill.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So we're going to jump into your job title, which I am really excited to learn more about. But before we get to that, I want to know, this is the traditional question we have. What was your dream job as a kid?
So literally as far back as I can remember, I have only ever wanted to be a teacher. I don't know, I've always loved it. And I had like the world's best kindergarten teacher. And I think that it was like, I just want to be here when I grow up. I also like loved dolphins. And so that was always the like funny answer to give, but truly have only ever wanted to be a teacher. And that was also then like solidified in high school. I worked with a young boy who had some pretty severe disabilities, and it was a wonderful job. And I didn't realize that working with people who have disabilities is not natural for a lot of people. And so that was like, I was like, oh, this is like so natural and easy for me. So that kind of pushed me in the special education route. So that was the dream forever.
That's a dream that I can relate to. That was always my response. I wanted to be a teacher. I also had an amazing kindergarten teacher. I think that's where it started, but crazy enough, she was in a car accident like partway through kindergarten, and it was seriously traumatic. Oh, like I remember it being so hard to not have her there because she was so awesome.
Wow.
That's the wanting to be a teacher is definitely something I can relate to. So did you enjoy school like growing up then?
Yep. Like number one student, loved school, loved being there. I had a lot of different schooling experiences. So like public school, private school, and then I had 1 year squeezed in where my mom homeschooled just my younger brother and I. I'm one of five. And even that year was like, this is great. I love to learn. So it's easy and I can get all my stuff done during the day. But the one thing I really missed was homework. And I wanted to go back to school so I could have homework.
That's incredible. And definitely not something lots of kids would say.
I know, I was such a nerd.
I love it. Well, I feel like that quality comes in handy with the job that you currently have, because it sounds like you have had to learn a lot. What is your current job title?
So my current job title is like flower farmer. I feel a little bit of imposter syndrome saying that because it still feels like a very new and growing thing. So even when I meet people, I tend to say, I also have a flower farm that I'm starting, and somehow adding extra words to it feels less impostery. So, but flower farmer.
Gotcha. And how long have you been on this journey of being a flower farmer?
I started growing in my garden when we lived in town the summer of 2021. And it was coming out of a hard stretch of life and mental health. And also it was 2021. So probably most people can relate to that.
Oh yeah.
And our neighbor actually offered up some of her yard space for me to have a garden. We took care of her yard for her, and she had a lot more space than we did. So, it was something fun to do. And the flowers were the thing that stuck. And I dove in deep that summer of like blogs and Instagram people to follow and learning kind of everything I could about growing, and seeing that flower farming was a job that people had and a business that people could do. So very much part of my personality, but I kind of convinced my husband that we just needed to move out to the country so I could start a flower farm. And the right house came up, the right property. Honestly, all just in the Lord's timing that it all worked out perfectly. But I feel like he pretty purposefully put us in this place. So in 2022, I would say it was like a intro year of growing some flowers and selling them. And this past summer, I have called my first and a half year because we had a little start. And then this was the first year I really dove in even more. So it's still pretty
Yeah.
new.
Yeah, but you've like dove right in. I mean, even committing to moving and everything, that's incredible and like such a huge part of the whole process. Like such a gift that you were able to do that and that you've found this passion. Did you grow like vegetables also that first year and like kind of figure out which you liked better?
in my neighbor's garden, and we just said, let's do half vegetables and half flowers. And the vegetables were fine, but there's a lot of funny memes on Instagram where it's like, I spent, $65 and countless hours to grow my zucchini, and I paid 10 cents for it at the grocery store or whatever. That's kind of how I feel about growing vegetables because it's just easy to buy them.
Yep, that's fair.
Which is, I mean, whatever, flowers too. So it's still fun, especially with young kids. It's still fun to grow our own food and have, it's really fun to see that process, but it didn't intrigue me or like interest me to learn more doing that.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. So the flowers, though, was a big shock, and I was like, well, I'm going with it.
That's awesome. So before you had the garden at your neighbor's, did you really have like any prior flower or farming experience?
Zero.
Wow,
Absolutely
that's so
zero.
cool. That's so
Yeah,
cool.
I feel like I lived a lot of that ideal life, like in college, like, oh, we're gonna, I don't know, be super crunchy and grow our own things. And I tried that a little bit and that never really took off. So it was fine. And I like flowers, but I've never even been like a huge flower person. So I think I was actually surprised at myself that I loved it so much. And as I have said to a lot of people, it was the first thing after becoming a mom and being in that stretch for however many years of being like, I am only thinking about my kids, and the things I'm reading online are all kid related. And now I'm ready to learn something different.
Yeah.
So it was the first thing that I felt like really passionate about post becoming a mom and kind of working through those really early years of having a lot of small children at my feet.
Did you have prior work experience before starting a family?
So became a teacher as I had always dreamed. I was a special ed teacher, and I was actually, my title was inclusion coordinator at a school nearby. And I did that for 5 years, and I absolutely loved it. I was in a pretty unique school and special ed situation. My role was a lot more administrative than hands-on teaching. And I really loved that. I felt like I had my hour or two a day working with kids, which was always my reminder of like why I'm doing what I'm doing. And then the rest of the time was working with teachers and paraprofessionals and parents, supporting the school as a whole with inclusion. And so when we ha started having kids and I stepped away, I always was like, I don't know how I'm going to get back into the teaching world because that job was so unique in that specific school district. I knew I wouldn't be able to really do that elsewhere, and I didn't want to be a classroom teacher. So I kept up my certification, but I was always like, I don't see like a way back in the capacity that I was in or would want to be in. So I still love being in schools, even going to my kids' school. I could just, I love the hum of the classroom, like a well-run classroom where everybody's like doing their work of learning. I absolutely love it, but I just can't see myself being the one back in that classroom leading it.
And as life changes and like the transitions and everything, it's hard to put yourself back into something that like might seem like a past life almost. I have felt that way about teaching too. Like, where would it fit in again, like moving forward in the future, and how could it look different if it was something that made sense? But you have like these administrative capabilities. Has that helped you as you now like created your own business?
I've always like known myself to be a leader in that capacity. I don't think I would have ever thought of myself as entrepreneurial until now. And I think now looking back, I see how those kind of all work together. I come from an entrepreneurial family. My dad, well, his dad started the business and then my dad ran it and brothers have taken over it. And then other brothers have separate businesses. So a lot of us are business minded. But again, I was the people person and the kid person, the like feeler in my family. And so I never identified with those things. And so it is interesting now to kind of see like, oh, okay, all of these leadership skills or the admin skills that I was using as a teacher, even the program I stepped into was established, but really like needed to grow and be taken off. And I was like, I know I'm not going to be here forever. I know I'll have kids. And I knew my husband's job would take us away from that school district. And I remember starting was like, hey, if I'm here for 5 years, I want the program to be at this point for me to be able to hand it off to somebody. And so I don't think I realized how much I like started that, built systems in place, got things organizationally, ready so that I could hand it off to the next person. And even the next job that I still had for a little bit was at another local facility that worked with adults with disabilities. And I was tasked with like helping to start the day program there. And it was like, yeah, let's get this off the ground. And it's totally different now than when I started it, but I was part of getting that going. And so, yeah, I guess entrepreneurial is the only word I can think of for that, but that kind of like, yeah, let's start something new. I've never identified as that, but it is clear that is something that I enjoy doing.
Yeah, you can like take this thought or a vision and kind of move it forward.
It's super affirming. It is just a year after year, especially as my dad has affirmed things and he's watched me and helped me a lot. And he's affirmed those things. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't realize that like the Lord really has given me these giftings, but he has. So it is, yeah, it's empowering. It still feels a little impostery, but also I think you hit 30, 35, and you're like, hey, I can own a little bit more of some things that I've done and take pride in them. And so I'm trying to figure out how to do that.
Oh, that's so good. And like always a good reminder to keep challenging yourself. And this, I feel like, has been a big challenge and a big undertaking. So I'm excited to hear more about what it actually looks like to, well, I guess both run a business and like physically be a flower farmer. That it's not, something that I know a lot about. So I'm excited to get into what it looks like day to day, or I guess seasonally, probably, because it's not always growing time and you've got to prepare and everything like that. So let's jump in to what it looks like to be a flower farmer. What would it look like, in your preparation stages, like seasonally? Where would you start?
It does feel like two separate things, the running the business and the growing part. And I am really learning how much I have to balance those both. I think it's really easy to jump in because you either like love flowers and want to play with flowers, you love growing them, but then to actually try and make it a business is just a whole other thing. So right now, that winter season is very much more business minded, kind of that CEO time. And as I'm still just figuring a lot of it out, but there's so much behind the scenes. Like financially, I would really like to be starting off on a good financial foot. So I'm having to learn a lot about like keeping track of finances and the taxes. And right now I'm working with a new tax accountant and she's asking me a million questions and I'm like, I have no answers for you. And it is really, I hate not knowing things, so I'm just like almost shameful about it, but also just like, no, she's gonna teach me and I will learn how to separate out, all these different kinds of expenses or all these different kinds of income and what needs sales tax and what doesn't and all that stuff. So the financial part of it is a lot of what I'm working on right now. Today I spent my whole day crop planning and writing out my purchases for seeds that I need to make. So there's a lot of that planning side of it. Last week I had to spend a day kind of looking at, okay, what are all the different ways I want to sell things? What does that look like in spring, summer, and fall? What are financial goals so that when that time comes, I'm like actually trying to sell and figure that out. There's a lot of marketing that I have to figure out, and even like social media, it's such a love-hate relationship, but learning how to use it for, the growth of my business has been a big thing. So there's so much that just feels like, I don't know, it's almost too much most of the time, and I have to just pick a day and be like, okay, I'm just gonna do this one thing today. And each day I'll figure out the next thing. But that's a lot of the behind the scenes that's happening mostly in the winter when I have time to focus on that stuff. It needs to happen more in the summer, but usually I'm too busy. So then moving into the spring, this will be my first spring that I actually get to work with spring flowers like tulips and ranunculus and other things. So spring and fall are the two like physically busiest times of the year. Summer is busy too, but there's so much physical labor that goes into the spring and the fall. You're getting your beds ready for things to be planted in them. You're getting all your seeds, you're starting seeds. So like even, as early as March and April, I'll be starting seeds and growing them in my basement and getting ready to get them planted out. It's kind of like everything's coming back to life. A lot of things need to be cut back in the spring, and then all that is while I'll be harvesting spring flowers and trying to sell them too. That is actually my most favorite time though, when everything is just coming to life and I can just dig in the dirt and you're planting all of these little seeds and just hoping that they grow. And summer is beautiful because it's lush and everything's growing and you get to just cut. I mean, it's a lot of work, but you're cutting flowers and you're arranging flowers. And that is where the bulk of, my forward-facing business is. So the business that I have set up is that I have flower subscriptions that people can get weekly or monthly flowers. That is a whole process in and of itself of a weekly schedule of harvesting, arranging, delivering flowers. I also have events that are on the farm, and those I've this past year I partnered with quite a few people, and I'll probably do the same thing this year. But those are days of just kind of getting our whole property ready, as well as harvesting buckets of flowers for people to play with that night, and then setting up tables and chairs and all that, and then hosting the event, and then the teardown after. And then this next year too, I'll have you picks on the property where people can come and cut their own flowers, and that will be hopefully, if it goes according to my plan, really the nicest, because I don't have to do all the cutting and arranging. I can just have it all set up and people can come do it, and I can like soak in them having fun. So that's so much of the forward pacing. And then the fall comes and we still are harvesting some flowers, but a lot of flowers we're pulling out, and we're getting beds. We're amending the soil. We're, covering them with leaves or mulch, and we're kind of putting all the beds to rest. And I think that's my second favorite season after the spring. I also love putting things back to rest, because after such a intense summer, it feels really good to kind of slow back down a little bit. So that's kind of like the year in a not a nutshell, but also not even encompassing all of it.
There's so many details, I'm sure, to think about. I mean, how many different types of flowers are you even growing?
Oh geez. Oh my. I can't. Because I have a bunch of perennials in the ground too, so I just won't count those. In the spring, I'll have, some of the main flowers: tulips, ranunculus, peonies. So 5 to 7 main crops in the spring, plus the perennials that I've put in that will bloom earlier. Thinking about all those seeds that I planned for and ordered today, like 15 to 20 different varieties of summer annuals that I'll start and plant. And then dahlias, which is a whole other beast, because there's that one word
Like the
encompasses so
tubers
many.
and
It's
everything, like,
a
aren't the tubers all
lot.
different, like, styles? Or
Well,
I don't.
I mean, they're all different varieties. They're all different varieties. Yeah, that's another thing I still have to do this winter and spring, is divide all my tubers. But so your tubers, I mean, instead of a seed, you have a tuber, kind of like a tulip bulb, and each you have different varieties. And a lot of flower farmers go like nuts over having different varieties. I'm trying to just be more focused and be like, no, I need like a few colors that will go well together, and then forget the rest. But you still, it's Yeah, you're getting them planted. They take all summer to grow, and then in the fall they go crazy. But then after they grow in the fall, you have to cut them all down and dig up, and every tuber produces like 5 to 10 more tubers. So you're digging up, like every tuber you put in the ground is then a huge clump that you have to dig up. And then it's farmer's choice. You can divide in the fall, you can divide over the winter, you can divide in the spring, but regardless, you still have to have a way that you're going to store all of them over the winter, which is a whole other beast. So yeah, dahlias are a lot.
Yeah.
I haven't even scratched the surface of them, but I'm sure I'll get deeper.
Even like just thinking about seasonally, you have different varieties, and within the summer, like there's the 15. Do they take different types of care then too? Like, do you have the partial shade and the full sun and the, like, I'm thinking about visiting a greenhouse and seeing the little tag in the flower about how they're supposed to be cared for. Like, are you managing all these different types of
Yeah.
care? Oh man.
Yeah, and that's honestly, that is the piece that I think comes most quickly. I feel like I hear or see things online where some people are really in the weeds on that. For the most part, everything we grow is just like full sun, because that's what most people are going to want. And yes, every individual flower does have its own, what it how it will thrive best. But for the most part, I would say, yeah, it's more like, okay, when is the best time to cut it? How does it, some after you cut them do well, like going in a cooler and they'll last longer, but some actually don't like to be put in a cooler. So yeah, it is a lot, but that part hasn't seemed overwhelming to figure out. At least at this point, 3 years of growing, I'm like, oh, I kind of have an idea of how everything goes. So I
Yeah,
don't know.
it feels like that
Sure,
kind of
it is a
job
lot.
where like you have to do it to know it, to figure it out, to pick it up, to, even for your own property, and like you have to think about soil quality and pH
Yeah.
levels and all of those things too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Science, Heidi, you can help me. Yeah, I did. And I was fairly hopeful that our soil would be decent because the people who owned it before us, one, honestly didn't do much with it, at least for a long time. But also, they did have animals, which is usually at least a nice, like, okay, you've had manure. And so I was pretty hopeful. And we did, you can send out soil samples. So we did that pretty quickly. There's still, I've spent the last year or 2 years trying to learn more about soil health and like regenerative growing techniques, which is again a whole other thing. If you, what kind of grower do you want to be? Do you want to be a grower who uses, pesticides, or do you want to go full blown the other direction? I feel like I tried to be really, really natural at the get go. And then sometimes I'm just like, nope, we need some things to help us along. But I, that's fun to learn and experiment with. Like even where I put all of our perennials in, I did pretty heavy wood chip mulching. And when I go to weed there versus where the annuals are, I was just doing black landscape fabric. When I go to weed where the wood chips are, that soil is like so much richer. The worms are crawling through it. It crumbles really nicely. It's just nicer soil. And then I weed in the landscape fabric. And I'm like, oh, this is fine. It's keeping the weeds down, but it's not this. I can tell the soil isn't as good. So this year I'm actually going to try and only do wood chip mulch. We'll see how that goes.
Cool. I hope it goes well.
Thank you.
Because yeah, you're out there weeding and doing like all of these other just
Oh
maintenance
yeah, all
things.
that stuff too.
Is
Weeding
that
and watering.
like you are the show? You're doing it all, or do you have help?
Nope, it's just
Is
me
yeah.
and friends that I can sucker into coming and hanging it out with me.
How big is your flower farm?
Oh, I need to get an exact measurement of where we're at. Our property is 3 acres, and I would say the section where, we have one section that's pretty overgrown, and that's where we've kept some animals. That's about an acre. Our house is kind of that like middle acre. And then where I'm doing all flower things is about another acre, but obviously it's not filled with flowers over there. Another way to think about it is that I have about 35 beds of flowers that are anywhere from 30 to 50 feet long. So
Gotcha.
there's some math in there.
Yeah. But lots of different beds, and are they mostly like one flower per bed, or like a couple flowers, or
Yeah,
yeah.
so I tried to arrange the perennials in a pretty gardeny sort of way, but still straight rows. I put all of those in last year in the spring, so this year will be a real delight to see how those all grow and come up together. But the other beds, I try to keep, this bed is just zinnias, this bed is just cosmos. And then come middle of May when I'm planting, it usually is a free for all, and there's a gap here and a gap there, and random flowers are thrown in. But I do, there's a structure and plan right now. We'll see how
I mean, you're susceptible to the elements too. Like, it's just kind
Yes.
of the space you're working with, but also the weather. Like, is that something that you have to think a lot about, or do you just kind of roll with what the weather is.
Yeah, I mean, no, yeah, it's hard. That first little half year, I don't remember what the weather was exactly like, but growing wise, I think I had like beginner's luck because I'm like, man, this is all great. And then last year, we had first the like a super, super wet end of winter, early spring. And then May hit and we didn't see rain for 6 to 8 weeks.
It was hot too.
It was really hot and there was no rain and it was painful. And that I think then resulted like the seeds that we were planting didn't get really great established. And so then they're susceptible to pests. So then pests were really bad. And a lot of other people in the area that I talked to said the same thing. So that was really stressful because I definitely felt like for the whole season, everything wasn't as great of quality as it had been the year before. And then right now, like not having a long stretch of freezing, means like tulip bulbs are like tulips are shorter if they don't have a long enough freezing period. So, there's literally nothing I can do about it, but it is kind of like, well, this is what's happening and it will like we'll see a repercussion from it. So it's interesting, but I also kind of with the soil too, I've been lucky. I think I have a little bit more of a clay soil. So like watering is such a big job in May and June, but as long as there's just a decent amount of rain, I don't have to really worry about watering once things are pretty well established. So but even that is like I am constantly watching like, okay, is it going to rain? Then I'm not going to water today, or how many days are we going to go? Yeah, there's that farmer mentality is like, okay, we do have to pay attention to all of these things.
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. You mentioned talking to other local farmers and growers. Is that like what you might characterize as your workplace community or your collaborative community?
Yeah, so I few friends in the area that are also growers, and some of them I knew before growing flowers, and some I met through flowers. So that has been really fun. People that it's really nice to kind of talk shop because for the most part, other people don't know what I'm talking about. They can be a listening ear, but it's different. So, and even just to get together like now in the winter and be like, okay, what are your plans for the year? What are things that you're wanting to do? I've gotten comments from people that are like, oh, all these other people are growing. And I've worked, I think I'm naturally bent towards this, but it a few sometimes takes work with my mindset to remind myself that it's not competition and that I'd rather collaborate and we can, I've often been like, hey, I am short on this. Do you have any of these this week? Or if I've been asked to do something, I can send them to someone else and say, I can't do that for you, but so and so can. So that's been great. And then I've also found some online communities. I found, and it's a group of growers in the Midwest with me, but we kind of all got put into a group together. And so for the last year, I've had them, and we just have this group text of, these women I have never met. But it is a pretty constant thread of conversation, like daily, where if maybe I have a flower that's new to me, I might be going to cut it and say like, hey, when's a good time to harvest this? Or what have you guys done with this in a cooler? Or today I was looking at seeds and I was texting them, hey, which variety of this flower do you guys like? And what's done well with you here? So, yeah, it's been really good to find those people that I can ask a lot of questions. And that group text too are other women who are really striving to make their flower thing an actual business versus some of my friends like locally are more hobby growers. And so that business side is really helpful too, just to be like, okay, what are you guys doing with your Facebook marketing or something right now? Because yeah, again, that feels like the biggest learning curve. So it's really helpful to have them to bounce those questions off of too.
Yeah, that's really cool to have the ability to communicate and connect and commiserate over all of the different, aspects of both the physical growing side and the business side. You also mentioned working with a couple of local people on things like events. Can you share a little bit more about what that looks like to, invite people to your farm and, a different part of your business is hosting these events and collaborating? What does that really look like?
So when I was kind of like, okay, I want to start a flower farm, I was trying to think of like what would be a niche and something that I didn't see in the area. And the big thing for me was having a U-pick. So last year that didn't work out as much as I planned. So this year will be great to see that work. But also along with the U-pick was just kind of this idea of like, I want people here and I want to be the space for people to come. Kind of the idea of like, I want you to be able to step away and have something fun to look forward to, whether it's with like with girlfriends, with your mom or sister, and the absolute like healing power of being in nature and just playing with flowers. That was something I really, really wanted to create for people. So with the event, I especially last year, kind of diving in, I thought I had a number of friends that most of them, not all of them actually, but most of them have already established businesses in the area. So other people know them already. So it was kind of a win-win for me to say like, hey, I want to do this with you because you're a friend, but also other people already follow you. And so you come do an event out here, it's just another way for me to get my name out there. So that was so much fun to have somebody else to do it with. It felt like, especially the first one was the biggest event of the summer. There were we had space for 40 people. And as we were getting ready for that event, we were just both like, this is so much fun. We're just like two friends doing this together. We get to have 40 women come out and we get to like basically throw a party for them. Some of them had more of like a, hey, this is like a big party feel. And some had more of like a, hey, this is like a really calm, intimate setting of like, just like, let's step away, but really peaceful. And I knew I would really like that. But I don't think I realized just how much joy that would bring for me. And like a kind of, it felt similar to my high school job where I was like, it's so natural to work with this young boy who has disabilities. And knowing that was a direction that I wanted to go, hosting the events this summer, that felt like that to me. Like, oh my word, I don't have like an inch of or an ounce of like nerves in me. I'm like, just this is going to be so much fun. And I just keep thinking if everybody can just get here, they will leave happy because they'll leave with flowers. They will have been like laughing, having like yummy drinks and food. And just time with other women, like that is all that we all need right now, especially in this stage of life that we're in. It's just like, man, and yeah, it was just this thing to me where I was like, yep, this is all I want to do. I just want people here, and I want to make the space for them. So it was really fun to collaborate. I am like so excited to do that more this year. I also will have fun trying to find a few things that I feel. Part of it, I felt a little inadequate doing some of the teaching. I felt I can really facilitate this well. So there are some things that I'm like, okay, I need to like own a little bit more of what can I teach and feel good bringing to people and not be so nervous about some of those pieces. But for the most part, I was just like, no, let me just create a space for you because this is the absolute best.
And you have a gorgeous space. I had the joy
Oh,
of
thank
being at
you.
one of your classes this summer, and I was at one of the more like chill and zen and peaceful and intimate ones, which was amazing because at that class, I actually got to tell two of my friends that I was expecting. So that was like really fun to be in this beautiful setting and making beautiful floral arrangements and sharing this fun news. And yeah.
I
Yeah,
it.
so
Oh, it's
it
so
is
good.
it's such a welcoming space, and you have a beautiful
Oh, thank
mural
you.
on your barn. Mind
Of
sharing what that mural is?
course. Well, so for Mother's Day this past year, my husband completely surprised me. He had written this whole poem, which I read the first few lines and I looked at him. I'm like, did you write this? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, well, I guess that makes sense. And so he wrote this whole poem. And then on the back, it was that we're getting you this big mural. And the whole thing was like, we wanted something that would enhance your business and be beautiful and, you know, just create this space. So he has a good friend who is in like theater design. And so she mostly paints on a large scale. So he like commissioned her to come out and do the mural. So on one side of the barn is like a whole floral space and like perfect for people to pose in front of. And she, you know, highlighted a lot of the main flowers that I grow. And then on the long side of the barn, it says, "You belong among the wildflowers," which is that dear old song lyric. And that's always been like one of my favorite songs. And was also, as I was trying to think of like the name for my business, I just kept coming back to that and was like, this is so cheesy. Like, how I can't, like, I can't do this. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna put a space in between wild and flower and make it Wild Flower Farm. And it's been great because it's just been my anthem for a long time, even before all of this. And so then to have that put up on the mural. And then to really continue to actually like live into it and own it and know that it's a space where I want everybody to come and feel like they belong and that everybody, you know, can find joy and fulfillment in being amongst flowers, kind of no matter where you're at. You know, flowers are that funny thing that speak every language, like for any joyous occasion. Like, oh, I'm like trying to picture, like, when did you tell them that you were pregnant? I can't,
Was like in the it was in the middle of us
I'm
arranging,
like
like it was a very peaceful moment.
dying. I just love it. That's so special. You know, but yeah, they're just like so special. And then they're also this thing that's in your deepest moments of grief, right? Where like whatever sadness, flowers are also there. And so they're such a powerful thing. And it's, you know, as a business, it's kind of funny to be like, I'm selling a luxury item, right? You don't have to have flowers. You buy them because you have extra money in order to do so. But they also are like so powerful and speak to every occasion of like what we're going through. And so you can also always just come, whether you're like, I had the worst day and I need to just go cut some flowers. That's often why I go out. I'm like, I'm super overstimulated and I feel like I'm gonna lose it. I will be outside. That is my calming space. And then also, like, they just, you know, it's the backdrop for like all these friends having like the best time and laughing and, you know, just being together. So it's, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I feel like you just highlighted a lot of the things that you particularly enjoy about your job. I mean,
I can say that.
it has this root of a, you know, a great passion of yours and how it creates community and special moments, and it's just a beautiful reminder of life and being something that we have in so many different moments.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a beautiful thing physically that you're doing. Like, flowers are beautiful, but it also just speaks volumes to the beauty of the direction of your business and the vision that you have for the ways you can impact people in their day-to-day life, but also, you know, to remove them from their day-to-day life to, you know, have that reset and peaceful moment. So it's all just a lot of beauty.
Oh, thanks.
And I know you've mentioned some realistic challenges that you face throughout, you know, the whole process. Is there anything else that you feel like throughout is just, you know, something that is an obstacle you have to overcome or problems that you're trying to solve?
Yeah. Honestly, the business side is what's really hard because of all that forward-facing stuff come, you know, I've had to learn it, but it's more natural and easy for me to learn and brings a lot of joy. Of course, I'd like to make money at it, but also I would probably do it if I wasn't making money. So it's hard to feel motivated to do that sometimes and to learn that. And also then sometimes it's like disheartening when you're like, oh, wow, that wasn't making any money. Okay. There, it's just like a really harsh reality some of the time. that's one of the things where it's a very glamorous job title, and the reality of it is very different. So I think flowers are so amazing to grow as a hobby, but if it was something that you wanted to be your actual job and provide an actual income, even just like a minimum wage level income, it takes like so much more work. And like the desire to actually have a business, you know, it's the creative side in the long run should technically be the smaller part of it. And it should, you really should have more of the business side, you know, going in your brain. So I think I'm still figuring out what I want that to look like, how much of a business, you know, do I want it to be in terms of like how much income for it to generate and all that stuff, versus compared to like, if I wanted it to be like a full income replacing thing for like our household, well, then I'd have to be doing a whole lot more. Do I want to do a whole lot more? I don't know. Is it enough for it to be the side income and the secondary income? Yeah, we can do that. So it's just, but all that business stuff is just something that you would never anticipate with hearing about going into flower farming. And then it's really, I think it's hard just because it can smack you in the face once you realize, oh, we got to do a lot of different things then if we want to actually make money at it.
Yeah, that all makes a lot of sense. In that vein, you know, it's, that's the realistic part of things. It's a business also. Is there any other advice that you might have for someone who's interested in going into this field?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if it goes much far beyond that, you know, but also to distinguish, I think if you love flowers, to figure out, do you love the like florist side of it more and arranging and that creative side? Again, I have friends who are florists, and so they don't do any of the growing. But even that, they have learned, man, you've got to have your business skills lined up because it is hard to make money even doing that. Like flowers are expensive. So, but figuring out, do you want to be more on the florist side of things, or do you love the growing side of things? I actually don't love the florist side of things, so that has never been a thought, but I think that's something to figure out if you're just a I love flowers kind of person. What side of it do you want to be on? You could totally do both in some capacity, but I think it would make it easier to have a little bit more of a focus. And then I would say really to go in a little bit more eyes open to the fact that it's a business. And so you've got to have a little bit more of that like grit in the beginning to figure it out. But you all and you want to You want to start off on a good foot financially. You don't want to get years and years in and be like, oh, wow, we are in a tough spot financially. So to go in really eyes open and just know, okay, I have to figure out a lot of the behind the scenes stuff in order to do the fun, pretty things. And the fun, pretty things are really fun, but there's just a lot that goes before all of that.
Yeah, that is really good advice. I feel like you see on even Instagram a lot, like people getting really into flowers, but you know, or even like talking with my sister, we've been like, oh, it'd be so cool to start a flower farm. But neither of us, I think, understand fully what that would, that undertaking would be. And also, like, I know very little about flowers, which I know you can learn. But to the extent of even remembering the different flower names and all of like having the space and doing the business side of things, there's just a lot that goes into it. And it makes sense that you need a lot of grit and you need a lot of intentionality. How do you balance that with, you know, working from home and your flower farm is at your home? How do you separate that piece?
Yeah, I don't. It's like chaos all the time. Yeah. we have 3 young kids. They are still young, 6, 4, 4, 6, and 8. So they're getting more independent, but it feels like constant chaos at our house because I, have all of my mom things at the forefront of my mind, and then I have all of my flower things that are just constantly running in the background of my head of what I need to do. And it can get really hard depending on the season, but it can be really hard to separate the two. I have last summer was helpful. I had childcare for my youngest. And so I was able to kind of take those days that she was at daycare and say to the other two, I'm pretty much working, come and get me if you need me. So, but this summer I won't have that. So we'll see. And some days and some seasons go better than others. In the spring, all of us are eager to be outside. And that's honestly such a joyful time because they are out running around. This I feel like it's the most idyllic time. They're running free, barefoot, and playing in the mud puddles, and I'm, digging in the dirt and getting things ready. And we're kind of all coming back to life. The grind in the summer can get hard, and I will say my house went to shambles last summer because I couldn't take care of a single thing more. So it just go it just vacillates from chaos to like somewhat order. The winter, I'm like, okay, things are in order, but for the rest of the year, it's still gonna feel like chaos most of the time. I don't know. I hope this summer's better, but I don't know if it will be.
It's a big endeavor that you're taking on. So, like, chaos is expected, especially when you have kids. And it's just, accepting the chaos because there's a lot of beauty in chaos, too. I mean, it can be overwhelming. I understand. But there's also, it's the seasonality of everything. And yeah, it's.
Yeah, for sure. In partnership, my husband does a lot to, when I'm just like, okay, I gotta go. He'll take the kids, and then even like event nights, like the kids are home and I'm hosting this whole event outside. They've done a pretty good job of knowing, okay, we need to give space. My oldest, she does love to be a part of it all. So there were a few events that her grandma was at that she was like, can I be part of it too? And like, sure, because she could totally handle it. I had one event where the youngest was out and about screaming, and everybody laughs, everybody gets it, so it's fine. And I'm sure that's part of, when people come, they also know I'm a mom with young kids and they know that my kids will be around. But it's also good to have your partner who's just like, nope, okay, kids, we're this way, mom's here working, we got to separate. So I should also say I do it all myself, but also he does a lot. He grew up farming like in Iowa, and so he knew what it meant to take to buy a 3-acre property. I didn't, and so he wouldn't have done it if he didn't know. Even things like as soon as we bought it, okay, we're gonna need this size of a tractor and we're gonna need this, and so there's a lot of heavy lifting that has to happen too around here, and I have done my best to learn as much as I can. But most of the time, if it's tractor work and other really heavy things, I just need him to get that done.
Yeah,
So.
that's a helpful piece though. I mean, and maybe it's kind of fun for him to drive the tractor. I don't know.
Yeah, it totally is. It totally is. And even in his dad, when his parents come from Iowa, his dad loves to work. He doesn't farm anymore, but he's a worker, and I have tasked him with many things around specifically just for my flower farm. So it has definitely been a like family effort.
That's awesome. And to have that support is really beneficial and beautiful too. Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. It's been so fun to learn more about what it looks like to both run a business and be a flower farmer. Before we leave, what is your best piece of life advice that you could share with our listeners?
Yeah, so I was thinking about this, and I'm going to kind of combine two different things. But I was sharing this with my younger brother who was expecting his first baby. And you've done this once, but this is all the second time around. It was always helpful for me in that phase to remember that, like, in 2 weeks, it will be different. And so, you know, those first 2 weeks when baby's home, like, okay, in 2 weeks, like, sleep will look different. And then in 2 weeks, like, feeding will look different. And then baby phase, that was so helpful. But then also, it just translates broader. You know, I would explain to him, like, listen, now with the kids at the ages that we're at, in a few months, it will look different, you know. And when we're struggling with something, I'm like, okay, in a few months, it'll probably move on to something else, and I'll probably move on to something else. And it's like, that is such a, like, heartbreaking and wonderful thing, you know. Sometimes it's like, hold on to it, like, whatever's really good, because that can change. But then also, like, okay, if it's really hard, you can, like, it's okay to have the mentality to just get through it, you know. And I think that kind of has been, like, part of our story of just, like, we had a lot of big life changes in the midst of having all of our kids, both my husband and I. And we had seasons where we just had to be like, we just need to get through this for the next few months. And then other seasons where it's just like, yeah, we just really want to soak this up. So that's kind of what I've got.
Yeah, I love that. I love it. And it goes along with the seasons being part of your life again with growing and, you know, having to get through some things, having to wait, and also just soaking up the really good parts too. So that's a really beautiful piece of advice. Thanks for sharing. Before we take off, where can people find you? Like, what's your flower farm's name?
Oh, thanks for asking. So my flower farm is Wild Space Flower Farm. So I mostly am on Instagram, and the handle is wild_flowerfarm. And also on my website is wildflowerfarmmi.com. And yeah, I do sh try to share quite a bit on my Instagram and have be a pretty open book, and share a lot about different aspects of our life, either with the kids or, like, we bought some alpacas this fall. And you know, I really have dove deep into this country life, and it's fun to share it with people because I truly don't know what I'm doing. So it's okay to, like, follow along and say that's ridiculous.
You're very fun to follow along because you're also baking macaroons and sourdough and reading and knitting and like you've got all these other fun things that you're trying and it's inspirational to me.
Oh, thanks. I know. And I've said to other your age where they have said, like, oh, you know, I just wish we could be doing what you're doing or whatever. And I'm like, ooh, we are 5 years apart. And 5 years ago, I would have never thought that we'd be doing these things, you know. Yeah, I think this is a season of life that moves so quickly that you're, like, in baby, baby, baby mode. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, I can, like, think about something else again. I can have a hobby.
Yeah, that's so true. And to not limit yourself, like, or to not wish away and like dream about what could be right now when, you know, you never know what's going to happen in the future. Like, you didn't know 5 years ago that you'd be at this point, and here you are.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has been a really, for lack of a better term, wild journey. So
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Well, thank you again, Jill. It was so great to sit down and chat with you.
yeah, so good. Thanks so much, Heidi.
Thanks for joining me this week. Being able to share your stories is what I love. We all have different journeys to get to where we are today, and Jill's journey started out in special education, transitioning to part-time positions when she started a family, and then totally pivoting a few years down the road to this new endeavor of starting her flower farm. Jill is honest and real and was just so fun to talk to. And having a family is an aspect of life that can impact your career in some way, shape, or form, whether it's a big career shift or simply just having to find daycare options. And I appreciated hearing And honestly, being able to relate to those transitions that it brought for her professionally speaking. Incorporating those real life pieces, I think, is a valuable part of the puzzle in these conversations. So if you care about your job and maybe are willing to speak into how it fits into your life and would like to share more about it, send me an email at heidi@jobtitlepodcast.com or head to jobtitlepodcast.com for more information. Thanks again. Until next time.